Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Are your wiper blades chattering, skipping, or squeaking? Don't let streaks or smearing on your windshield compromise your visibility. When it's time to replace your wiper blades, stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts and see our selection. Our professional parts people will even install your new wiper blades while you wait. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Maui Nui is on a mission to help balance axis deer populations for the good of our environment, communities, and food systems. On the island of Maui, they've shared over 126,000 pounds of nutrient-dense protein with the Maui community. Secure your spot now, become a snack subscriber, and join in helping to build more resilient food and ecosystems on Maui. Visit MauiNuiVenison.com, that's MauiNuiVenison.com, and use promo code BEAR for 20% off your first order.
There's nothing like snook hook sets at dawn or catching a tarpon in the moonlight. Find your next fishing trip made easy on fishingbooker.com and experience the magic of the Sunshine State or any other destination on your fishing bucket list. Book a blue water adventure in search of sailfish or go snapper fishing with the kids. With over 6,000 captains and trips to choose from, planning your next one just got a whole lot easier. Download the Fishing Booker app on the Google Play or App Store, or visit them online at fishingbooker.com to book your trip today.
My name is Clay Newcomb, and this is a production of the Bear Grease Podcast called the Bear Grease Render, where we render down, dive deeper, and look behind the scenes of the actual Bear Grease Podcast. Presented by FHF Gear, American-made, purpose-built hunting and fishing gear that's designed to be as rugged as the places we explore. So, Josh is now like the audio bad boy of the Bear Grease podcast.
I got a rep now. Got a reputation.
Josh was
street cred.
I think you got a rap. You got priors.
Well, he got reprimanded. He got reprimanded for fidgeting, heavy breathing, drinking on the podcast. Not alcoholic drinks, but drinking on the podcast.
Yeah.
And so we were texting Josh, you know, okay, here's a thing that we all do and we all know it. When you actually need to talk to someone about something serious and you turn it into like a little bit of a joke.
You're doing a bit, yeah.
Yep.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like rather than like call Josh and like confront him.
Yeah.
Just like.
Which
man,
is to
I,
me,
I
that's the best way to do it.
Oh, to Brent Reeves. Brent Reeves says that, who's never confronted anyone in his life.
No,
so
I
you
didn't.
Make a
not,
joke.
Not
you
jokingly. I'm like, hey, stop.
So well, we joke. So we send a text thread, and we're like, oh, Josh,
you've offended Josh.
Drinking.
You're offending Brent. I think you need to watch yourself. I'm just saying.
No. So after a couple of joking text messages about the heavy breathing,
it got real
heavy drinking,
quick.
Then it was like, Josh is really offended.
This is how we create a villain. He is now a bad boy.
I'm a megalomaniac.
He's adjusting that mic to breathe directly into it. I'd like to bring up a point, like the chairs provided are very noisy. Like, is that our fault?
It adds ambiance.
Yeah,
I mean, it's not like we're sitting in a recording studio.
This is your office.
Clay has attacked Josh. Josh has now attacked back. He says, this is not a recording studio.
Wow. That really hurts my feelings, Josh.
He said it jokingly.
Yeah, he did it in a joke style. So
what if you had really confronted me after this? Like, Clay, I know you think this is a recording studio. It's not.
You think that all the taxidermy deadens the sound, but it doesn't.
I bet if we took that bear out of here, this thing would sound like an echo chamber.
I wonder what the like resonance would be if you removed every bear hide from here.
It would be.
It's definitely
seriously echoey. It was when you first moved in.
But now with all the bear hides.
And the furs.
I've got
absorb a lot,
three,
too.
3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8 bear hides, a full deer hide, a mountain lion hide.
Fox.
18 coon hides.
A mountain lion. Did you say mountain lion already?
Mountain lion.
A Black Panther shoulder mount.
Black Panther shoulder mount.
Bear hide. Here's got a tick on it.
Bear chaps.
Does it really?
Well, welcome to the Bear Grease Render, guys. I'm very excited about today's podcast. I want to just pitch this in right here at the front so that everybody will know. August 2nd through the 4th, this podcast comes out on the 3rd of 2022.
There's time left.
There's time left. There's a big season opener sale for First Light, FHF Gear, Phelps Game Calls, and all the Meat Eater brands. And basically, I'm not going to go through all the exact stuff, but if there was ever time to buy First Light gear, it's now. Big sales on everything that they've got. Also with Phelps, there's some stuff that's even 40% off with a First Light. Phelps is having a big sale. Their Elk Bugle that has the built-in diaphragm is revolutionizing elk call. I mean, you know, typically, Josh, you use a turkey type diaphragm call, and then you blow through a bugle tube.
I didn't know that.
Takes a little bit of practice to blow it.
Is there a video where I can see that used, like in a Home Shopping Network type of?
Yes,
context.
There is. There happens to be two gentlemen that I met them briefly, Clud Newcomb and Brad Reeves, that made a little video.
At a gas station with taxidermy in it.
So
he said, come back, we got some work for you.
Does First Light have any boot cut pants for Isaac?
Oh, no.
I wish they did.
Hey, what would you say to a guy who says, I like to buy my stuff at the last minute and at full price? Like, is this a good opportunity for them?
No. If that guy would need to wait to the 5th of August.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Like, roll the dice. I don't know if it's going to show up in time. I would just wait if I was that guy. Okay, cool.
But if you want
a good deal,
good stuff, yeah.
And to get it in plenty of time for the season.
Now's the times. Season opener sale. Gary?
Well, you know, look how our main man here is dressed in overalls. This is kind of like Dunlap store right here.
Yeah.
You know, this is an antiquated way.
Don't forget my socks.
This is all high-tech stuff you're selling. Yeah. This is all you need is overalls.
Right.
And a good attitude and perfect balance. I have all of those.
And white teeth.
And you wear quite a bit of First Light gear.
Yeah, I do. All the time.
Well, we're just begging them to make us some overalls. Cut that out, Isaac.
I got it.
Don't cut it out, Isaac.
Don't cut it out,
Isaac. If I get in trouble, I'm going to blame you, though.
You got it.
The last render. So we always, every now and then, describe the structure of our podcast for anyone who might be new. Every other week, we have the Bear Grease Render, which is where we gather up a group of people to talk about the real Bear Grease, which is our documentary-style podcast, which we do every other week. So we produce a weekly podcast. So this week on the render, we are going to be talking about our gas station taxidermy roadshow podcast.
Very fun.
It was very entertaining.
Oh, man. Me and Isaac, when we kind of built this idea, and by built this idea means I called Isaac and was like, this is what I'm going to do. And he was like, great idea. But it just means a lot when he's like, great idea, do it.
Yeah.
So when we built this podcast, I was like,
yes, man.
I was like, this is going to be good. Why is that dog barking? Tess!
Hush! That hurt my ears.
That's loud.
I can't take dogs barking.
He says that, and he has six hound dogs.
Yeah.
They're always barking.
So, I was excited about this because it was just a different style of podcast than we've ever done. It was... But it was a lot of fun. It was primarily in-the-field content. We had two feature guests, one of which was Misty Newcomb, and one of which was
Shining
J.P.
Star.
Shreve, who couldn't be here. He was going to come, but he wasn't able to.
Okay.
But so we're going to talk about that a little bit later.
Fascinating character. I've met him before.
Old J.B. Shreve. Introductions. We're going to go counterclockwise this time. To my right, Josh Landbridge Spillmaker.
Great to have you, Josh. Still as a stone.
The Bear Grease audio bad boy himself, Josh Spillmaker. Gary Newcomb to his right. Gary, how you been, man?
Excellent. Excellent. Yeah?
You got a lot to say on this podcast?
I can't wait.
You're going to tear
I'm bubbling over.
Good.
Jubilation.
Good. To your right, Misty Newcomb. Great to see you, Misty.
Always.
Have you got a lot to say?
You know, I've said a lot.
Will you already?
I think I have about an average amount to say.
Great. To your right, Isaac Neal.
Yes, sir.
Assistant producer. Assistant to the producer of the Bear Grease podcast.
Yes.
Great to have you.
Thank you.
I kind of missed the bootcut jeans and cowboy boots.
Yeah.
Well... I was at a.
You went full reversal on.
Yeah.
I was at a show all weekend, and I had my bootcut jeans and my cowboy boots on. And did I tell you how I got the cowboy boots?
I assumed
lost
you,
a bit.
You bought them. Did you?
My wonderful
take
father
take them off of a corpse
My wonderful father, Chris Neal, says, "You want some cowboy boots?" And I said, yes, I'd love some cowboy boots. Thank you very much. He said, my podiatrist said, I can't wear them anymore.
I thought he was going to get them from the podiatrist. They're like all, somebody couldn't.
I need to know what a podiatrist is.
Just foot doctor.
Context clues.
Foot doctor. Okay. Anyway, so he gave me the boots, right? Love the boots. I was standing on concrete all weekend at a trade show. And today I was just like, I'm tired. I'm going with my supportive tennis shoes.
That's the reason
I'm putting on my shorts. But I did get this shirt from my dad as well, so it's all simpatico.
Bringing in the spirit of Chris Neal to the Bear Grease.
Great. Well, looking good. And then to your right, Brent Reeves. Great to see you, Brent.
Great to be seen.
You're wearing a very nice pair of overalls today, and a new pair of shoes.
Ooh.
Oh
my
Bears!
Look at these socks.
Those okay. Bears?
That's Bears, yeah. Jack.
Ladies Bear and gentlemen, socks. Brent Reeves is wearing a powder blue pair of trouser socks.
Yeah.
With bears on.
Decorated.
Does that bear have a fish in its mouth?
It's got a trouser.
What else would he have in there?
There's like about,
I don't know, berries.
It's small a pattern of bears.
Grizzlies.
These were a present from Bailey, these socks. She gets me socks with, I got socks with the hound dogs on them.
Yep.
With trout. You would appreciate them, Josh.
Yeah, I would.
Fish, bears, animals. Yeah. So I like to wear them.
Excellent.
And who are you? Good. Who are you?
My name's Clay Newcomb.
Okay.
I'm the host of the Bear Grease Podcast. So we're gonna talk about the Taxidermy Roadshow, but before that, I want to wade through a few things. Brent, tell me about your dog, Treeing, the other night.
No, Waylon, first cut out of the box, turn him loose. He goes, trees. I look on my Garmin, 150 yards. I walk to the spot where he's at, and he still sounds like he's a quarter of a mile away. And we're hunting up in the woods where we filmed, where you guys were at, where we coon hunted up at. With Michael. Uh-huh. I get up to the edge of this slough right here, man, and it's flat ground all the way in there. So there's no hills. There's not a hollow tree close. There's a slough right in front of me, but there's no beaver dam. There's nothing. I don't understand why I can't hear this dog. It shows him to be, at this point, 20 feet away. I walk 20 more feet, and I'm standing on this bare ground, flat bare ground in the river bottoms, and this dog sounds like he is a quarter of a mile away. He just, ooh. I was like, I can't, where's my dog? So I'm looking at Michael. I said, Michael, I can't find my dog. And I'm looking at the Garmin, and that thing is spinning around in circles like a ceiling fan. I know I am right where this dog is at or where the collar's at. And then I get to listening, and he is barking under my feet.
What?
Under my feet. He is in the ground. And I think somebody's got to get a shovel. I got to dig my dog out. I could see.
Hold up real quick.
Yes.
That sounds like the next Clay Newcomb song. Somebody get a shovel. I got to dig my dog out.
Pound in a hole.
Just an idea. Okay,
in
back
a hole.
To the story.
Could be.
Pound in a hole, chicken in the holler.
So I'm 20 feet, 25 feet away from the edge of the slough. And the water, I can see, it's not running water, it's standing water, but I can see the water moving. So I walked over to the edge and laid down and looked under, and there's a 6-inch gap between the top of the dirt and the water. You can see there is a beaver run, a beaver hole that goes up in this bank. And I get down there and I can hear it. And it sounds like Waylon has got a paper towel tube and he's barking through it and barking out that hole, you know.
That would be a sight to see.
I shine my light in there and I can't see anything. It's just water. So I called him. And when he comes out, he looks like he's in a submarine periscope. All I can see is the top of his eyes. And the rest of him is underwater at that point. He comes right out, swims out, and I grab him by the collar and pull him up. And I looked at Michael. Michael said, we're just going to say he had the coon. I ain't going down there to check. There it was. And from then on.
How far in there was he?
15 yards.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
For real.
He was way back in there.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't like he was right on the edge of the bank. He was 15 yards away from the edge of the water. No flashlight. He's a man. He's a good dog.
Okay, so I've got a little bit of a story. Bear Newcomb and I went this week to get ready for bear season, and we went and we took our mules to a piece of property where we bear hunt. You may have seen us have the mule videos where we're hauling bait, and we took Banjo up there, and right out of the chute, Banjo. Y'all have seen me post some stuff about Banjo. And he's not doing great.
Clay and Banjo are in the strained era of their relationship.
He's had a little bit of recidivism, hadn't he?
Yeah. He's kind of
gone through their rebellious teen.
Would you
years.
Say that he's sort of the Josh Spielmaker of the mule pack?
He's the bad boy of the mule pasture. But so my history with Banjo is that he started off really good. You do remember, though, that there was one episode of the Bear Grease render that I titled Kicked by a Mule, because he kicked me when he walked out. That's a strike against an animal if it ever reaches out and kicks you. That's like getting bit by a dog. It's like, wait, you know, usually you don't give him too many more chances than that. But because he was, it was kind of my fault. I kind of scared him. He wasn't like trying to hurt me. You know, he got a pass. He kicked me right in the thigh. Well, I started riding him in January, and he was doing really great. First time I rode him, just rode him around the round pen. Usually start riding him in a round pen just as a contained, controllable environment. And I had packed on him. I had done all the there's multiple training exercises that you do to basically train a mule. Well, I got overzealous with how good he was doing. And so one day back in the spring, I decided I'm just going to ride him out in our small pasture out here. And he was doing fine. Everything was okay. And then I went under a tree, and the limbs of the tree raked against my hat and made just kind of a scratching noise. Josh, it would probably be like your mustache, like scratching up against the microphone is what it sounded like to Banjo. And so Banjo, it spooks him. He runs. He makes like a quick run. And when he does, I kind of tighten down on the saddle, just trying to stay on. And when I do, I think that spooks him. And he bucks twice, real big. I mean, I couldn't see it. And when you're in the saddle, it feels like a giant, like, you know, rodeo buck. It probably
wasn't. All fours
wasn't
off the ground.
And but he bucked hard twice, and I flew off the front. He bucked me off. No big deal. I actually got back up on him and rode him right then just to let him know everything was okay. But since that time, he has been ultra spooky about almost everything. So I started riding him in the round pen again and still doing all my normal exercises, my lunging, my I don't really even know what to call it, but there's like five or six things.
To be clear, this is not Clay with his hands over his head bending at the knees. Not those kind of lunges.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
I was thinking you like upright on top of its back doing some sort of horseback gymnastics or muleback gymnastics.
That would have been cool.
Go ahead.
So anyway, Misty saw that one. Misty and my nephew were in the garden when that happened. And then 2-3 weeks later, after I'd worked him a couple times and ridden him a couple times, and I thought, okay, we're over him getting spooky. We're good. I was riding him, and I'd ridden him for 30 or 40 minutes in the round pen. And just all of a sudden, he just got spooked, unprovoked spooked is what it felt like. And he bucked two times, and I flew off the exact same way. He drops his head and spins hard right, and I keep going left. And but the second time, I landed on my feet. Yeah, it was pretty
Monty,
good.
That was Monty Hawkeye Henson's technique. He was a saddle bronc rider, man. Could ride the hair off a winged Pegasus. And when he got... And when he come off of that bronc, it was 9 miles in the air, and he landed on his feet and walked off like a stud that he was.
Really?
Yes, sir.
Wow. That's inspiring. Yeah, fact check that. What's his name?
Monty Hawkeye Henson.
Okay, so now I'm scared of Banjo, just to be, if I'm being honest.
Yeah,
like,
for real.
And he is hyper, he's hyper aware of me now when I'm around him. When I put stuff on his back, and I've only got on him a couple of times. And I've actually sent an inquiry out to my friend Ty Evans, TS Mules on Instagram, who's a master mule man. And he's supposed to answer my question on his podcast.
Oh,
I said,
great.
Basically, I had a young mule that was doing good, rolled him multiple times. Everything was okay. Bucked me off. Second time he bucked me off, he's gotten much spooky. And I think I know the answer of what to do is you just got to keep doing the same thing. But so we take Banjo to the land to haul all our materials up because I am building this story has some complexity in it. I'm building
all
a pit blind for black bears. Yeah, and that's all I'm going to say about that.
We use decoys, roll top, like a rice field.
You're speaking my language now.
Yeah, I figured it was.
But we have to hand dig it. And so I had to bring. I had to bring a bunch of stuff. So I was going to use Banjo as our pack animal, which I did. Banjo, I get Banjo all packed up. I get Izzy saddled up. Bear's going to lead Banjo, and I'm going to ride. And as soon as Bear unties Banjo from the tree, I said, Bear, whatever happens to that mule, I just had a feeling, just by the way he was acting, that he was going to act up. I said, whatever happens, just hold on to him. You're not on his back, so he's not going to hurt you. Just hold on to him. Well, the second I get on Izzy and ride off a little bank kind of towards him, Banjo gets spooked and just throws a bucking fit. Nobody's on his back. I'm on Izzy. But he, for comfort, is running towards Izzy. And so I'm trying to take Izzy away, and I start like trotting down the road to just kind of get away from him, just let him buck it out, and then I was going to go catch him. Well, he's just like right up on me and Izzy, just bucking. And I mean, I'm confident that Izzy's going to get spooked and buck me off, which she's never done. And anyway, finally the darn thing bucks and just throws a fit, and probably five or six big bucks, you know. And then finally he's like, he quits and he's like, okay, I'm free. And Bear dropped the lead.
Way to call him out. I don't think you should call your kids out on a nationally broadcasted podcast.
I'm sorry. I just wish you'd have held on to it. That's all. I'm not mad at him
anymore.
And the mule just...
He wasn't mad at him, but he wasn't happy with it.
Banjo has my steel chainsaw in his deal. He's got a pickaxe, a shovel. Man. He's got all my stuff on him. And he just takes off running down this road. And we're way out in the middle of nowhere.
He's going back to the truck?
Well, we're at the truck.
Oh.
He's going just...
Somewhere.
You ain't even got there yet.
He's going wherever he's going. I don't know.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And so it's always a touch-and-go thing when a mule takes off, because if you chase it, they'll just keep running. But if you don't go after them, they keep running too. Bear Newcomb, though, this is where I'll regain Bear's dignity inside of this. That boy never gets he never missed a lick. Like, his facial expression never changed. His demeanor never changed. The energy coming out of his body never changed. Mine did. I get worked up. I mean, I was like, yeah. I don't cuss, but like, most people probably would have
been
cussing.
A good time to do it.
I mean, I was just like, Bear, get the, you know, I mean, I was being real intense, and Bear just never made a move. And anyway, Bear takes after the mule, and about 10 minutes later, I see him walking back with Banjo. And then we go up on to where we're going and start digging our pit line for 8 hours.
Maybe you should have him ride Banjo. Ooh. Maybe him and Banjo would get along.
So much happening in this story. I feel like I don't know much about mule training and haven't paid as much attention outside of just filming videos. But I'm hearing a lot, Clay, that I think, Ty Evans or not, I could work with you on.
Oh, okay.
All right. I mean, I just, Bear being able to get Banjo not sending a lot of loose energy. You thinking that you weren't mad at Bear.
Emotional.
That you weren't happy with him either. I can assure you Bear knew exactly where your emotions were at in that moment. I think there's some things here. Also, I question whether or not you felt, I really do, when people have traumatic experiences like wrecks, or they always think they remember things exactly how it happened, and they almost never do. Your memory plays tricks on you. Am I right, Brent?
That's correct. Yeah.
In those kind of moments.
Well, you saw it both times.
Well, I'm more heard and turned. So I saw it when you were on your... Yeah, I heard.
She more heard.
I saw like
Dad,
that.
Dad, do you have any advice?
Yeah, I think the mule is reading your emotions and reacting. Okay. I just thought of that. I know what Misty's driving at.
Yeah.
I'm not smart
but
enough to come
real,
up with that.
I was real calm before that.
But, right. That doesn't matter. I mean, we're all real calm when our kids are behaving like perfect angels.
Do they have a mule barn sale around here anywhere?
There it comes. Yeah. Well, he said it fast. I was waiting for Gary to say, you need to sell that mule.
Yeah, you need to get rid of the mule. I mean, it's just no question. I mean, why monkey with that mule?
Well, I think you just have problems with mules. I've got years investing in this mule. I've had it since it was weaned. And I think it'll be fine.
I agree. I don't think we get rid of the mule for being a little jumpy.
If he just keeps stacking up X's, then yeah.
I think that let's try the mule handler first. Like, let's go that angle. Let's get some emotional discipline. I'm being a little bit facetious because I know you're not out of control with your mules. You're real restrained. But I think if you're real restrained in your actions, like you don't take action. But I do think those mules have a crazy ability to read.
Oh, they do, absolutely.
To read people. And so even if you're being really self-controlled, they can read if you're...
The way that I've heard it described, and I've used some of my words to describe it, is that a mule does not have a complex vocabulary and language in terms of words. I mean, literally, they have just a few verbal noises that they make that do communicate with other things. What they do absolutely communicate with all the time is facial expression, posture, ears, eyes, mouth, nose. They literally communicate with, yep, like the furrow of a brow, the angle of an ear. And the other thing they communicate with is their feet. I mean, Banjo and Izzy, every single day I watch them kick each other. I mean, like they communicate with that. So yeah, you're speaking a different language when, mm-hmm, you're around them. And that's what natural horsemanship and these guys that are real good at it are good at doing is putting out the right
frequency.
It sounds like voodoo, but man, it is science.
I'm always amazed, mm-hmm, at how much a mule, even any equine animal or a dog, can pick up on fear or intimidation. Like, mm-hmm, I mean, my dogs are big, goofy. I have two Great Danes, big, goofy, docile dogs that just want to play all the time. If they see someone who's intimidated by them, they want to bark at them.
Yeah.
But they won't bark at anybody else. I mean, a two-year-old will come by and they'll just bound over there and lick him. But a 6'6" big old dude walks by and turns like this and looks at him. They're going, woo, 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 woo.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like Clay's turkeys that were discriminatory against anything they perceived as weak. They would attack anything they perceived as weak, either someone that had a disability in terms of like a visible disability where they couldn't walk straight, they would go attack that person.
Really?
Yes. Elderly people, young children, often women.
My wife. My wife
just like a classic bigot.
Yeah. Those turkeys.
If you're going to be a bully, you know, pick a fight you can win.
I'm wondering if Banjo's a listener of the podcast, a consumer of media, and has maybe picked up on this agenda you've been pushing where you're like, your mule doesn't like you. It doesn't have the capacity to love. And Banjo's just, I'll show you, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
You hurt me, I'm going to hurt, mm-hmm, you back.
Yeah, emotional.
I thought we had something going, and then out here telling people mules can't love, you know?
That's right.
Yeah. I'd like to see that.
It's all about
I'm
who
not
has
a smart
the tree.
Mule, but yeah. I know what love is.
Evidence-based, yeah, horsemanship, a book that I read. Years ago. Before I was even training equine animals,
yeah,
talks about a paradigm shift inside of training, primarily horses is what the book talks about, but mules too, where this idea that a horse likes you or doesn't like you, or that a horse does this thing because it wants to get back at you for you know, like not giving it enough grain yesterday. Like, basically, these guys, it was a...
Is that true or false?
Oh, it's complete anthropomorphization.
That's okay. A big old word.
That was good.
First try.
If you're going to define relevant, then I think you need to define that.
We've mapped human traits onto animals.
That's right.
Thank you, Isaac.
Yeah, yeah. And basically, the two guys that wrote it, I can't remember their names. Basically, one of them was a neuroscientist, and the other one was a real good horse trainer. And basically... The neuroscience guy, which I loved, and I still would like to have him on the podcast. He was like, a horse does not have a place in its brain to love you.
But what about in its heart?
Right. Exactly.
And a brain doctor knows nothing about hearts.
As a parent, nothing keeps me up at night more than the idea of something happening to my children. But if something happens to me and I'm not around to protect them, that's a true nightmare. Having term life insurance for myself is crucial because I can rest easier knowing my children and loved ones can have some financial support even if I'm not there. That's where Fabric by Gerber Life comes in. Having life insurance just gives me that extra confidence throughout the day, knowing that my family will be financially cared for if something bad happened to me. Fabric by Gerber Life is term life insurance you can get done right here, right now. You can be covered from your couch in under 10 minutes with no health exam required. Join the thousands of parents who trust Fabric to protect their family. Apply today in just minutes at meetfabric.com/bear. That's meetfabric.com/bear. M-E-E-T, fabric.com/bear. Policies issued by Western Southern Life Assurance Company. Not available in certain states. Prices subject to underwriting and health questions.
O'Reilly Auto Parts are in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offer friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. If you're confused about what part you need, like what wipers are going to be the best, what replacement headlights are going to be the best, go into O'Reilly and talk to the people that work there because they're great and they're super friendly and they'll get you squared away where you walk out knowing you got the right thing. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. Do you need your windshield wipers replaced? You need a brake light fixed? You need some quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/meat eater. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/meat eater. Pay attention here because this is a hell of a good service. It's called the Wellness Company. Picture this, okay? You wake up, you got a scratchy throat, you're all congested, you got a runny nose, you got a cough, whatever. And you weigh your options like you tough it out, get sick, take time off work, try to get a doctor's appointment sometime in the next few months, wait 2 hours at urgent care and sit in a room full of six sick folks, or you open your medical emergency kit. You match your symptoms to the doctor recommended prescription and you start on the right meds right away. These medical emergency kits, not a first aid kit, all right? It comes with doctor prescribed meds to treat over 39 medical issues. So, on hand, strong antibiotics for infections of all types. Plus, a doctor's easy guide so you know exactly what to take and when. No waiting to see the doctor, no waiting at the pharmacy. It's all in there. Every home should have at least one medical emergency kit. Order yours online in minutes. Your kit will be rushed to your door. Get 15% off at twc.health/meat eater, but you got to use the promo code meat eater. That's promo code meat eater, okay, at twc.health/meat eater.
What about Trigger and Silver, man? Holy
yeah, no
cow.
Kidding.
Is that
Lone
is that
Ranger and Tonto and Tom Rogers. Roy Rogers? I mean, those animals love those guys.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
Hard.
Didn't even like
it
them.
It is actually hard because we had a mule and what was her name? The very first one, was it Mabel?
Ellie Mae.
Ellie Mae. And we had a horse, Ruth. And Ruth left for a while and wasn't there. And Ellie Mae was so needy. I would walk out, and Ellie Mae would not pay me the time of day. I go on walks by where the mules are, and I would walk out there every single morning, walk out there with the dogs. They would walk with me. The mule would just stay off to the side. When the horse left town, I would walk out there, and she would come greet me every morning and whinny at me every single day. I'm not saying that they love.
That's a classic. You've anthropomorphized these animals because you feel like she's like emotionally lonely. They're herd animals. So they have a deep, deep desire to be with another animal.
And I'm just saying no she whinnied. I'm social. Just saying like emotions, whinnying. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I know more about this topic than you.
Yeah, maybe so.
Social. Put that to the list.
The social just capital. That's what we call it.
Social capital. Yeah. Great. Well, let's talk about this. Let's talk about this podcast. What was your favorite part, Isaac?
I think it was the lady who just like had all the information dialed in on the mounts. Just like, oh, that's Sandra. A 176.
Mm-hmm.
It's like,
yeah,
dad gum.
Sandra. Yeah, she corrected me. Stuff. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I was like, ah, it's 165, 170, and she's like, no, it's 176.
I think.
Yeah, Mr. Boone and Crockett, try 176.
Yeah.
In a broader sense, like I enjoyed the whole thing. I enjoyed. We can get to the funeral procession. That was a really interesting thing for me.
We almost took that out, by the way, if you want to get behind the veil.
See how the sausage is made. But I think what's really powerful about this piece is like
it, as soon as you start listening, it takes you to all the places in your childhood and growing up and the places in your hometown where you're like, yep, that place is gone. This place is shut down.
Mm.
Oh, interesting.
So, that's what it did for me.
You were thinking about the places you remember with taxidermy and whatnot.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Sandra Barrett at Dunlap's store in Kirby, Arkansas was really something.
It was good.
It was a lot of fun. Yeah, I wish, I mean, if she was close, I would have been like, hey, come be on the Bear Grease render.
I can't
pull it. It's a long ways from here.
I can't pull it out of my head. I don't know if you said it on the podcast, but how many of the stops were planned and how many were impromptu?
That's a great question. So I think we decided we made 15 stops.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they were totally, they were not random stops.
Sure.
Well, okay. And the planned stops were like three.
Okay.
Like three of 15 were, like, I had an appointment with Clifton Ward and I had an appointment with Sandra Barrett.
That's 20%. 20% of the stops and then, were planned.
Yeah. Maybe just two. Maybe that's all I had was two. That
did Hunter
I
know we were coming to Burroughs? No, yeah, I didn't think he did. Not. I thought we surprised him.
Yeah. And so, but it wasn't just a random sampling of 15 gas stations. Like, we were looking for country gas stations. We were looking for places that, like, towns that we felt like might have deer heads. But the one Brady Mountain one stop there north of, well, whatever direction from Crystal Springs, east of Crystal Springs, we literally coasted in there after our vehicle said 0 miles left on fuel.
We were going down the road, and he had the nearest gas station, which was that spot in the GPS, or I did, and he was like, all right, the speedometer says we've got 2 miles of fuel left. How far is that? And I'm like, well, it says here 17. Cross your fingers. Actually, it was like we were like 3/4 of a mile past beyond what the capacity of the car said. And finally, the car zeroed out, and we've got it in sight, and we just slid right up to the to the gas pump.
Nice. Yeah.
And so that place totally was just random. And we went in there, and that's where there was a big mule deer.
It was meant to be, man.
There was a wood duck. There was a fish.
How do we feel as a general rule about non-native species in gas stations?
I mean, I can't talk negatively about it. It
was still for it.
Still a positive.
A for effort.
I mean, personally, when I see that, I'm like, eh. But there's it's something different when I see a whitetail or something. Well, you know what I mean?
What didn't make the cut was there was a jackalope in there.
Oh.
So we did a little bit on the jackalope.
Where's the line in non-standard?
I bet people do not. I think we need to pause
Everybody knows what a jackalope is.
No.
That's another song.
Yeah.
Everybody knows what a jackalope is.
It's a form of non-standard taxidermy.
Yeah, where they take a rabbit, they mount a rabbit and put deer horns on a rabbit.
Usually,
I mean, it was really brilliant. A source of
like
great
a rag horn or a
confusion
horn or something like that.
In my childhood.
The jackalope is a jackrabbit with antelope antlers.
Exactly. Really?
Is that a
brand name? Are we going to owe somebody royalties for using the word jackalope on the
deer horns on it?
Well, how many antelopes do you see around Southwest Arkansas?
But I mean, we'd still call it a jackalope,
right? I think so, but the actual jackalope is antelope antlers on a jackalope.
I feel like there's something like with cottontail, whitetail there, something. I don't know.
I think it's a little bit like a generic brand, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like it's just a little
like
off,
a weed
but it's basically
eater
the same thing.
Versus a string trimmer.
That place had a big, nice set of dark 100, a big, like kind of a non-typical like mule deer, but it was just a skull plate, you know? I bet nobody has spoken of that mule deer in 15 years. Well, it'd be nice. It'd be interesting to interview the owner.
Yeah.
And we didn't meet him. We just walked in there and there it was. And then, so your question was how many scripted stops?
Yep.
Really just two.
Yep.
Then there were 15 other ones. And I was pretty pleased with the amount of deer horns that we saw on our trip, though it wasn't like a random sampling.
The taxidermy representation of Southwest Arkansas, Southeast Oklahoma.
It was fairly strong.
Doing you right.
Was that first place you stopped, the smokehouse, was that a gas station?
No.
Or was it just a restaurant?
Like, we just wanted some beef jerky and cinnamon rolls.
So I remember as a kid.
Who doesn't?
It reminded me of going to this country family restaurant when I was a kid. Just chock full of dusty, old, taxidermy, all, you know, mangy looking. But it immediately took me back there as a kid.
Yeah. Yeah. Brent, what was your favorite part of the road trip?
Miss Sandra. You know, you talked about seeing her talking about the deer heads and the deer heads, and you think about all the places you grew up and saw. Miss Sandra took me back to the people.
Yeah.
You know, there's not a lot of folks like her. Or not, I don't see a lot of folks like her anymore. I mean, she has been a staple at that one place for the majority of her life.
Mm-hmm.
She knew, if you caught it, if people listening heard that, she was telling Clay deer stories, and all of a sudden a guy walks in and she stops mid-sentence and says, "Hello, Billy Don.
Yeah.
How are you?"
Yeah. Yeah. Man, that wasn't planned either.
No, gosh. Yeah, I just wanted to bring her home with me.
Yeah.
And she's just a good person. And she had so much value in those deer heads up there that there's probably people walking in and out of that store that if you ask them, they've probably been in there a million times, some of them. What do you think about all those deer heads in Dunlap's store? And I'm like, what deer heads? People are so focused now. Yeah. Get in, get what you need, get out, and get gone. I could have stayed there all day and listened to her talk about the different things. On the front of that, and I made a little mention of it, there was on the front of the cash register was pictures from old pictures, new pictures of kids, grown-ups, folks that were, you know, graduation pictures or engagement announcement. And I asked her, I said, these are not all families. Oh, no, this is just part of our community here. We're all family. And it was so cool because I grew up in a place like that.
I made mention that her stories were rivaling any of those ever told on the Bear Grease podcast.
Yeah.
What do you call it when someone gets, there's a term for athletes that like get in the zone and they're just like almost operating at like a supernatural level. What do you call it? Like free flow?
They call it flow in the work.
Flow. Okay. Yeah. So Miss Sandra, when she started telling the story, towards the end, she was in the flow, and her voice picked up the pace, and she was like, and then there she was, and then I was coming through there, and I said, I will spank your butt. Yeah.
she threw a squalling fit.
she was great, but she really got fired up. Like she would talk to you just like real normal, just like, yes, this is Don Kelsey killed this one, da da da, and then but then by the time the end, she was like just like she was just ripping on the stories, and we couldn't include them all. She told us, I think every single story that, and a couple of them, she didn't know the full story, but she knew all the details that were known. Like that deer came from this place and this man, and it's been here for this long. There were 10 deer. So you guys only heard like 3 stories. But she was a super sweet lady. And I just like cold called her and just said, hey, this is who I am. This is what I'm doing. You know, she didn't know anything. And I just and it's hard to describe to someone on the phone in a gas station. Like gas station conversations on the telephone are not long. It's just like, hello, Dunlap store. You know, it's not like they're
she's
just going to sit there. Yeah, yeah. And there's people coming in and out, yada yada. And so here I am trying to say like, hey, we would like to come to your store and interview you about your deer heads. Like, I could, and she was real sweet, but I could tell she was like,
These guys are weird.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was like, okay, we'll be there tomorrow about 10 o'clock. And, Brent will be wearing a pair of overalls and a John Deere cap. You'll know who we are when you see us. No, she was real nice. But that was neat. And then Clifton Ward was a neat old guy. He had that whole gas station covered in deer.
Yeah.
And the biggest coincidence of the whole thing was we were in there talking to Clifton Ward, and the man who told me about
crazy.
Clifton Ward was Rusty Johnson, who lives in Northwest Arkansas, which is 4 hours from there. Rusty Johnson's dad lives in Texarkana, which is hours from Dirk's. We're in there talking to Clifton Ward, who I'd never met before, but knew through the Johnsons, and Jack Johnson walks up. Jack Johnson is a Boone and Crockett scorer. I had just asked the man, you know, we just guessed on the score. Jack Johnson goes, Clay? You can hear him go, Clay? And I turn around like, Jack. And anyway, he's like, just passing through. I mean,
that is pretty crazy.
It really was.
That's Rusty's dad.
Rusty's dad. Yeah. I just said that. Yeah, Rusty's dad was Jack Johnson. But, Josh, Anything stand out to you?
Well, coincidence enough, today I was listening to this podcast again, and right before I get to the part where Brent talks about the funeral procession, I see the first funeral procession I've seen in 2 years.
Wow.
Right in front of me. The officer's lights are on, and I look up, and I thought, oh, I better stop before I realize. I thought it was just an officer coming down the road, and I realize it's a funeral procession. I ripped my hat off and pulled over.
Oh, did you take your hat off?
Oh, yeah, I did.
Now, would you have known to do that before?
I didn't. I never thought about taking my hat off. No. I mean, I've always pulled over.
You wouldn't take your hat off.
No, and I was real disappointed. Who is your dad? He didn't teach you that stuff. I'm going like, come on, man.
Well, yeah. So the funeral procession.
I thought that was a nice little tidbit thrown in there.
You like that?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I was like, it's like a little PSA right in the middle of the podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. I wanted the podcast to feel like a road trip, you know?
That was the soundscapes of the podcast were a nice change. Like I can hear the squeak of a door opening and the bell ring when you go into it. Like all those
like
little...
the atmosphere we try to create in here.
Exactly.
With zip ties.
How long
the creak of the chair,
trip?
The breath.
Okay. How long was that? How long was that road trip? What time did y'all leave? What time did you get back?
I left. I was in Alma by 7 o'clock, so I left here about 6 o'clock in the morning. And I got home about 9 o'clock at night, and we pretty much drove the whole time. And I picked up Brent and Alma, and then we went from Alma to Crystal Springs to Sunshine, Kirby, Derrick's, Hayworth, Oklahoma, Antlers, Moyles, Oklahoma, and then back up through Fort Smith, and then back to Northwest Arkansas, and Brent went back to his house.
Are you kind of like a gold digger? I don't know what the right word would be, but it looked like Brent... funded the whole project.
Yeah, I knew. Who did I turn my receipts into?
Yeah, an expense report.
Yeah, Brent bought me a few drinks.
Stay hydrated.
I'm not sure how that happened.
What all convenience store items were consumed on this trip?
Well,
by far the best, and it wasn't a convenience store. We're coming from Burroughs. Was that there was a cinnamon roll? And we put pictures on Instagram, but it's big as a cow patty. And he gave us two, and we eat one all day. It took us all day to eat one. And then at the end of the trip, we cut the other in half, and he brought some home, and I took some home.
We're still eating on it.
It's fed the nuclear last
month.
But
they had some beef jerky that was crazy good. Oh my gosh, that stuff was good.
And then we had a bologna sandwich at Miss Sandra's.
I don't know
which
how.
I paid for.
Yeah, finally. That was the mule lip sandwich from
Dunlap's. Didn't make the cut. We gave a wildly exciting audio version of a bologna sandwich being made that
it was
somehow
good.
Didn't make the Bear Grease cut.
Bologna play by play.
Yeah.
Classic good, bologna play by play.
You know, it was cool about that store at Dunlap store when Alexa saw the video that you put on Instagram about it, she said, I recognize that store. I've been there. I thought, you have been in Dunlap store? Yes, her grandfather, A.T. Oliver, was a Church of Christ preacher in Southwest Arkansas. Mm-hmm. And in Murfreesboro, and he loved stopping in that store and getting that hand-dipped ice cream she talked about.
Oh, wow.
When they had his funeral, the whole family goes down there. So there was 3 van loads of them, and to honor him on the way back, they all stopped there in Dunlap's store and got some hand-dipped ice cream. Wow, she said, I've been in that store.
Wow.
Mm.
That's pretty cool.
Dad, what was your favorite part?
You know, I just enjoyed the relaxed nature of the whole thing. It brought back a lot of memories about Mr. Petty's, where I lived in Hot Springs. You could go 2 blocks in any direction, and there would be a little store. You know, they'd have deer heads in it. But, you know, and then as I got older, I said, convenience stores have come in and these things disappear. So as you look, I enjoyed Misty's social capital deal. And I kept thinking, what has replaced this? Because something has replaced this part in a community, the old store. And coffee shops is about all I could. You know, you got church, you got civic clubs, you got a lot of stuff going on. It bring people together. You got parades. You got all kind of stuff going on that pull communities together. And a lot of times, Chamber of Commerce has helped.
Mm-hmm.
But in my little small town, the coffee shops are a big deal. You know, you'll walk in a coffee shop and there might be 10 guys sitting around.
Do you go down there and drink coffee?
No, I don't. I go in occasionally and just see these guys, but I don't, you know, I'm too busy goofing
off.
What
are you doing?
I'm just a deadbeat man, and I've become really good at it.
He's driving his side-by-sides to the golf course. But back.
I tell you what really disappointed me. I mean, I just couldn't believe two guys of y'all's stature would walk into a store, a station, that didn't have any taxidermists at all, and not harass them a little bit. Like, I mean, really, him. I mean, I can see that as humorous as you guys can be.
Oh, I see. You think we should have confronted him.
I think so, man. I mean,
it's a
very
confrontational
render. Hey, man,
today.
I love your little store here, but where's your dadgum deer heads?
Clay stole all the toilet paper out of the bathroom.
So, we did a little graffiti on one of them. We didn't put that on there. We went in the back and spray painted stuff.
Yep, good.
No, I'm just kidding.
No,
That's a good. I take that criticism. Yeah, we should have confronted. We just walked out of there like a couple of little scolded ground squirrels. Yeah. Just went back to the car.
We were eager to get to the next spot.
The toilet paper, stealing the toilet paper, made me think.
That's
an
really
issue
not
that,
true. We didn't. Do
no. Yeah. Sure. an issue that wasn't brought up on here, and I felt like was. Could have played an integral part in this conversation, especially with Mr. Shreve, is bathrooms. That was like the number one thing my mom talked about with gas stations growing up. Like, does that place look like it has a clean bathroom or not?
Oh, right. Like in the idea of trying to get people to stop at your store.
Right. Yeah. Just like that was item number one. Yeah.
You'll
we
see that
think
advertised
about the bathroom.
On road signs.
Sap Brothers.
Now. Clean bathrooms.
Yeah. Mom-approved bathrooms.
You might find an inverse correlation, which means as cleanliness of the bathroom goes up, taxidermy goes down. I don't know why, but that's my gut feeling. I know it's an unpopular opinion.
Okay.
Some things you just don't tell.
If you go to a place and need to use the restroom, do you have to buy something?
Oh, a lot of people mandate it, like bathroom to paying customers only.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
I just feel this internal compulsion to do it.
Yeah.
I'll like go buy a bottle of water or something.
Brent and I
Brent's shaking his head no.
I don't think it's a moral thing. I don't think I'm superior. I'm trying to put it out there and see people's feelings. Thoughts.
I like to contribute. I like to be a financial contributor.
The reason I brought it up is you went into that one gas station, no taxidermy, you didn't want to feel bad, you bought a Sprite you didn't want.
Yeah.
We did. It was just primarily because we walked in there and there were like eight people behind the counter watching us.
Yeah. Can we help you? And I'm like,
we may have been the first customers that day.
Yeah.
Oh. So I wonder if there's a link between customers in rural communities and deer heads.
Can you do a follow up episode where you go back and you're like, we're here to help you out. We've got a trunk full of taxidermy. Let's throw it up for a week.
Wow.
See what happens.
That's a good idea. We could fill our vehicle up with taxidermy and go around and see if people would let us hang.
Yeah.
Man, hey, that actually makes my stomach tighten just a little bit. It was a bit of a stretch, time or two going in these gas stations, just cold turkey, like asking them about stuff.
Really?
I mean, it's not, it seems like, well, yeah, Clay, you would have been comfortable talking. No, I wouldn't have been.
It's a sign of the times, and I don't know what it is. But maybe it's the fast-paced life or the disconnect that people have. But you don't walk into a store like Miss Sandra's store. And in a lot of, we didn't walk into a store. I don't think that anybody was rude. Most of the people were welcoming. I help you? You know.
Sure.
But you get a general feel, and when somebody is actually glad to see you and know that you're coming in. And we got to from like that one place in Oklahoma. The ladies were working there in that little store, the two stores together that had no idea about any of the deer heads. Hanks, exactly. They were like, hey, y'all come on in. What can we get you? And we started talking about deer heads, and they looked at each other like calves looking at a new gate. They're like, what are these folks doing? But once they figured out what we were doing, man, they were in. All they could do to help us.
Yeah. They were really helpful.
So a lot of places.
They didn't slow down when we figured out what we're
doing. Yeah, and I think that's what makes it different. Folks like her, those two ladies and Miss Sandra and all the other folks that we saw there, that was 100% nearly every place you would go. And now we talk about it because it's not. It's different.
When you were talking about Miss Sandra and the pictures up on the register, right, it made me think, like, that's social media, pre-social media.
Right, exactly.
And I'm not here to, like, just talk bad about social media. I think there's a lot of good and positive and upside potential to it, but it is a force that can silo us, make us not as connected, make us want to say things that are mean-spirited or whatever because there's no in-person repercussion. Right. It sort of tears at the fabric of some of our community. But when you go to the gas station and you see the pictures and you're interacting with people face-to-face, it builds those things.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Is that in that vein of social capital that you're talking about, or is that not related at all?
No, I think it's in that vein, and I think what Brent's talking about, you know, you don't want to be too nostalgic about the past because the past had stuff in it that, you know, whenever you talk about a place of connection, a place of community, the next question is always for who?
Yeah.
Was everyone in the community really allowed in that space?
Sure.
And so in some ways there have been improvements, but overall there has been a generational shift across races, across different cultures, and this is a North American thing. Most of the research that we've seen is North American, but a generational shift in all the things that Gary just named: parades, church membership, civic organization membership, and even when there's still membership, people are replacing. For example, I was reading this week about people are essentially replacing doing for and doing with doing on behalf of, or doing with doing on behalf of.
What's that mean?
Well, so like people are still involved in, I mean, the U.S., I don't know if y'all ever read Tocqueville, but when he came to the U.S., centuries ago, one of the things that stood out about the U.S. was its civic participation and how rich community life was. Today, even with the U.S., with our civic participation dying, mm-hmm. we're still more engaged in our communities and in volunteerism than a lot of other countries. Yeah. So all of the research that we're looking at is that I've been looking at is in the U.S. But even when people stay engaged in like volunteer organizations like the Lions Club, the Elks Club, or family, you know, community traditions. But a lot of times they'll give a donation instead of going and doing stuff with people.
Yep.
And so, and that doesn't get you the same thing. That right. doesn't get you the same social benefits.
You know, we all have that need to socialize with each other, and we're going to find it. We don't have to have that little, we don't have to have Dunlap store. I'm going to seek it out. Now, certain people aren't quite as apt as others to find that socialization, you know, wherever it's going to be. You know, a deer camps. They didn't used to have deer camps probably like we have now, where you got 30, 40 people in a deer camp. And I mean, they don't kill deer. They go down there and they eat and visit and have a big time. So it's real important to have that structure in your society. But the more urbanized we get, the more people walk in and go, dead deer hanging on the wall. And it almost becomes like OARC. This store I've told you about so much, it becomes a tourist attraction. So if you can capture what you were looking for and you can do it well enough, the Corvette Club will come there. The Motorcycle Club will come there. The four-wheelers will come there. There's two new little places around our community that have done exactly what they did, what Dunlap's has done.
Yeah.
And people come from all over to go there. They've rebuilt the old store down there, and you go down there and there'll be 30, 40 four-wheelers parked around it. I'm 20 miles from the hub of four-wheeling, and I stop in to get a biscuit from this guy, and I'd heard about his store.
So you got deer heads in there?
Yeah, I'm sure he does. I know he has fish. He's a big fisherman.
Okay.
But it's an old building. You know, and he's smoking meat, and, you know, he's got ice cream. And, I mean, people just love that. So instead of it being in every community, it all of a sudden becomes tourist attraction.
Really?
Yeah. Right.
Which of you listening right now took a class in school about Family Finances 101? No one? Yeah, me neither. like the importance of a will or college savings plan or even life insurance or estate planning. We have to know these things. But how do we figure it all out? That's why I'm excited to partner with Fabric by Gerber Life. Life insurance is important to me. It just gives me security in knowing that if anything happened to me, my family would remain financially stable in my absence. Fabric by Gerber Life is term life insurance you can get done right here, right now. You can be covered from your couch in under 10 minutes with no health exam required. Join the thousands of parents who trust Fabric to protect their family. Apply today in just minutes at meetfabric.com/bear. That's meetfabric.com/bear. MEET fabric.com/bear. Policies issued by Western Southern Life Assurance Company. Not available in certain states. Prices subject to underwriting and health questions.
O'Reilly Auto Parts are in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offer friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. If you're confused about what part you need, like what wipers are going to be the best, what replacement headlights are going to be the best, go into O'Reilly and talk to the people that work there because they're great and they're super friendly and they'll get you squared away where you walk out knowing you got the right thing. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. Do you need your windshield wipers replaced? You need a brake light fixed? You need some quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/meateater. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/meateater. Pay attention here because this is a hell of a good service. It's called the Wellness Company. Picture this, okay? You wake up, you got a scratchy throat, you're all congested, you got a runny nose, you got a cough, whatever. And you weigh your options like you tough it out, get sick, take time off work, try to get a doctor's appointment sometime in the next few months, wait 2 hours at urgent care and sit in a room full of six sick folks, or you open your medical emergency kit. You match your symptoms to the doctor recommended prescription and you start on the right meds right away. These medical emergency kits, not a first aid kit, all right? It comes with doctor prescribed meds to treat over 39 medical issues. So, on hand, strong antibiotics for infections of all types. Plus, a doctor's easy guide so you know exactly what to take and when. No waiting to see the doctor, no waiting at the pharmacy. It's all in there. Every home should have at least one medical emergency kit. Order yours online in minutes. Your kit will be rushed to your door. Get 15% off at twc.health/meateater, but you got to use the promo code meateater. That's promo code meateater, okay, at twc.health/meateater.
Yeah, so Dad was telling there's a store in Oak, Arkansas, which is maybe one of the oldest gas stations.
It is the oldest going concern in Arkansas, supposedly. 1890.
Is when it started as a store.
Right, right. Yeah. And it's ongoing. And I would just bet you if you were to do a study on it, it was just a store for years. But now, probably in the last 20 years, it's a destination.
Yeah. They've made it into like a themed. It's kind of like going into like a Cracker Barrel or something. Like
it's a wall drug,
antiques and
you get really good.
I've never
food.
Been there.
You got wooden floors. You got a porch you can sit on. You got old pictures all over the place.
And they've got deerheads. I actually was gonna go there to the O'Arks General Store. I think is what it's called, And we just weren't able to get there.
Hey, let me repeat it. We do not need Dunlaps. I don't want Dunlaps. I want a Cherokee casino that I can walk in with a clean restroom, get gas at a cheap price, and walk out and listen to a podcast.
and not interface with somebody.
Not necessarily interface. But if I know there's a place around that has Dunlap's personality, I'm going to drive to it. You know, it's going to be a point where I want to go to it, but it's been replaced by something better. In my opinion,
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to drive to Dunlap's to fuel up when I can drive 10 miles the other way and get a McDonald's burger. I can buy something. I got a clean
restroom. What you're saying is that we've chosen what we wanted. I mean, like time and progression.
We got what we asked for.
The dollar bill dictated where we went.
And that's what Jeff said. You know, that's what J.B. Shreve said.
Yeah.
I mean, if
you map it onto something else that's happening, I've got a lot of friends who take issue with Jeff Bezos and the way he runs his company.
That's Amazon.
And still buy from Amazon because it's really convenient.
Right.
It's like, you may say that you want this, but like, ultimately, I'm stopping at the chain gas stations because they're convenient. They're right here. It's going to be clean. It's going
to need, be cheap. You know, this is contrary probably to everybody listening to this, but I moved to a little town in Arkansas to raise a family, to have a nice career opportunity, but I would not have moved there had there not been a Walmart. I'm telling you. I mean, that seems kind of crazy. If there hadn't have been
a
Pizza
factor.
Hut, a Walmart, just a couple of little conveniences, I would have said, hey, I don't need this career opportunity. You guys can have it. So Amazon, I mean, they're putting people out of business, but, I mean, it gives my family more money. I see
save
stuff.
Save money, live better.
Yeah, you know, so therefore, take a vacation. I can.
And that's what I think I'm trying to say. Like, I'm not anti-modernization. And I wouldn't want anybody to ever get that idea, even though they might be like, think that. Like, I love Walmart. I love going and buying cheap gas. All that I think is interesting is understanding really what's happened and what we've given up for just to map the change. Like, I see what you're saying. That's a great point because we're not, I don't want somebody to be confused and think that we're trying to be like nostalgic for the past. Like, I don't like doing like.
Do you want
to
go back to rotary dial landlines?
Yeah. Like, I'm cool with it being 2022 and us having the internet and social media and being able to buy gas quick and not have to go in and talk to someone for 30 minutes.
But maybe just throw a whitetail inside.
Just put a deer head in there and I'll be fine. But my point in what's interesting about it is just trying to map and understand where our society has moved. Because you just wake up and you think it's normal. And you look back and be like, well, there used to be general stores and all this. And then you look at the oil industry, you look at social capital and these ideas. It's just interesting. That's all I want to do. Like, yeah, I'm with you. And that's a great point. I'm glad you said that. Like, I don't necessarily even want to go back. I just want us to understand where we're at. And then we can find, you know, we don't have to build relationships at the gas station anymore. Like, that is not a human necessity. It wasn't like in the beginning there was a gas station and that's where you went to get all your information and your gas.
But we do have to build relationships somewhere.
That's right.
And I think that's what, and this is kind of, we've talked to our kids a lot that we live our lives off of ancient principles that do not go out of style. There is no fad that is going to, the principles that we live our lives by are always going to be
right. No matter what technology, no matter what technology comes,
but we live a very modern lifestyle.
It's that's Bear
governed
Grease.
A very modern lifestyle that's governed by those ancient principles. And I think that's the thing is we're not trying to just go back to and because I think Clay, you would prefer to live in a city. I mean, a town that does not have a Walmart in it. That would be your preference. Mm-hmm. And as evidenced by the fact that we live in a town that doesn't have a Walmart in it. Yeah. And that we've always, I feel like we've gone out of our way to go to gas stations. I mean, Clay wants to go to a place that has character. So I think you definitely would, I would say, I hear what you're saying and you don't want to go back and you like your smartphone, but you like to take the kids.
I'm on TikTok, guys.
Yeah, I mean,
I mean, it goes back to...
I own TikTok.
Yeah.
You don't own TikTok.
You don't own TikTok. I think that's a Chinese corporation.
Yeah. I asked them this last week. But Bear Grease, I mean, you're all about...
Yeah.
The popularity of what you're doing is based on Dunlap's. I mean, bear, who mm-hmm. wants to kill a bear to get greased? I'd rather go to a store and buy some
canola
grease.
Oil.
Yeah. Something that'll kill you. You know, that bear grease is too healthy.
I think the themes that we always come back to are the things that have tension in them, and that's what you're discussing. Like, like just that tension of like the old meeting the new, the things that I like meeting the new things that I like. And
I think we just got to be aware. Like it's just smart to just be aware and just understand stuff. It's interesting. And just put a dead gum deer head in your gas station.
Really?
How hard is it? I'm going to say this. My favorite part was the guy who, what was his name?
Shaquille. I wanted to bring up Shaquille.
I love Sandra, and I told Clay, definitely the MVP, but Shaquille, I thought that was super cool because you kind of have this meeting of the worlds where Shaquille clearly wasn't, you know, his family origin is not, is not Southeast Arkansas or Southwest Oklahoma, wherever you were, but he, in a certain level, you know, embrace there, you can see the cultures coming together. And I thought that was a super cool story that someone felt close enough to Shaquille to say, hey, I'd like to bring my deer head.
Shaquille didn't open a store to hang taxidermy in, likes the community aspect. And he's like, I'm
bring him in. I loved it.
He was such a cool guy. It was a neat old store he had. And I mean, he wasn't trying to be cute by being a country store. Like he had just a convenience store that he was just trying to make a living in. But it was a neat old building. And turns out there's some history with that place. He said it'd been there like 80 years or something. And we walk in and it was there was one other person in there and he was talking to this guy. I think this guy had like a 24 pack of beer like at 2:00 in the afternoon. And he was there talking to Shaquille.
Probably for later consumption.
It was hard to say.
Responsibly. He was getting his month's larder of.
But they were just talking just like they were best buddies, you know? And then I knew that a couple of these stores I would walk in with my recorder and kind of just be like incognito. But I knew that I had to tell this guy what we're doing. And so he was very interested in the Bear Grease podcast.
That's awesome.
He had me write it down on a piece of paper. And I said, I'm going to write my name and my phone number.
Yep.
I need to reach back out to him to see if he heard it.
To me, it was a highlight it's almost like in Shaquille's store, this tension that we're talking about was resolved. I mean, you're clearly seeing a global universe and you're just seeing so many themes.
I have this on tape, on tape.
Cassette. Okay.
On digital
on SD card.
He when we were leaving he said what good does this do people to listen to your podcast?
And you're like, that's an excellent question.
I mean, like, he was really processing because I was like, we're a hunting conservation like history
Clay
anthropology
has an existential
type
crisis
podcast. We're going to talk about deer heads and gas stations. And he was just like, now what company is it that you work for? What good would it do for someone to listen to this podcast? This is like the most genuine question. Yeah. And I was like, well, actually, you know, the hunting industry, and that's a lot of people listening to this would be hunters. I said, it's actually a really huge industry in the United States. And he was like, oh yeah. He knew that. And he just was puzzled, man. He was just puzzled.
It is puzzling.
We could roll up in his, but it's interesting. But
it was nice.
We could go roll up in his driveway, unannounced, walk in with a deer head and said, hey, remember us? Can we hang this in here? I promise you. Yeah. He'd drive a nail on the wall.
Yeah. We ought to go hang a deer head down there.
He would drive a nail on the wall.
We ought to hang a deer head in Moyles, Oklahoma. I think it's Moyles. Was it Moyles?
Something like that, yeah.
And we say every person that goes to that store because of Bear Grease, like, will, like, give them something.
A sticker.
Had to take a picture.
We ought to do that. Yeah. I don't want to give up one of my deer heads, though.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
What was the name of the store?
Brittingham's.
Yeah, Brittingham's.
I was wondering if
Bear
Grease
would give his deer.
Maybe interested in like sponsoring a scholarship of sorts or something like that to someone who may have a gas station or maybe looking to open a gas station. And
need taxidermy.
I think that there's
a taxidermy scholarship.
There's a greater good to be done. That's the good. that happens from listening to this. We're connecting gas stations with.
Hey, what about the shout out Miss Sandra gave to that one
Mad
taxidermist?
Dog.
Mad Dog taxidermy.
Yep.
She straight up just was like,
here's the guy. Yep. Period. The end.
And let me just tell you, that is social capital right there.
Exactly.
That's a prime example.
He got an advertisement on Bear Grease that who knows what he would have had to pay for that if he had gone through a meat eater.
Come on.
Let's just be honest.
Functional social capital.
Yeah.
You go into places. In fact, I can think of several. I won't mention them. And a couple of them are real good friends of mine. And I go, where's the dadgum chairs around here? I want to socialize with people.
Yep.
And they go, we don't have chairs in here. We don't want people coming in here to socialize, you know. Yeah. And I'm really, they don't. So it's more
like,
than
like a gas station.
Well, it's like a real good friend of ours in Mena
I know what you're talking about.
And you know, I mean, it's a great run place. It's clean. It's got nice restrooms. It's got great products. There's no chairs.
Do your business and get out.
So what I'm saying or what I'm thinking is, you can have all the deer heads in the world, but you've got to have good food. You got to have places to sit.
Yeah.
You got to have friendly people. Hey, what's going on, Billy Don? Yeah. You got to have two names. I mean, you know,
two names. That's big.
And so
it is important.
Yeah.
So you can do that without deer heads, but it just happens if you have that environment. You usually have some.
Well, and what we did, we could really dissect what we did. We used almost a spurious correlation to try to draw conclusions about something much bigger. I mean,
it's a placeholder.
Like we realize deer heads do not mean that someone's going to build social capital. There I am saying it. But it's an indicator.
Yeah. It very strong, I'd say.
It could be an indicator of a time past.
I just don't understand why all these researchers that I've been reading,
don't talk about deer heads?
Not once
they've
is taxidermy been
brainwashed dimension. By the liberal media.
Misty, there's your book.
Misty says cut that out.
When you said chairs, I immediately saw the little booths, red Formica benches with a wood grain tabletop, two of them right in front of a window. I can't tell you how many gas stations I've seen that. Little styrofoam cups of coffee, old men in their overalls.
One cup of coffee, one spit cup.
Yep, absolutely.
That's kind of the story of my grandpa is like his truck. When he died, my nephew got the truck and I got in there and it just smelled like chew. I mean, that's what it smelled like, the old spit cup. But we took him, he was dying and we were trying to, you know, we knew he was going to die. We were trying to get the kids these relationships, and we actually brought a video camera down because he was just a great storyteller and we wanted to hear him tell us stories so I brought my kids down, my mom, all my kids sit in the room and we just ask them, tell us this story. And he loved it. And after it was over, we said, hey, we want to take you, and we named the steakhouse downtown or anywhere else you want to go, just name the place. And he was not like super close to even his own family, his immediate family, his own kids. I would say he wasn't the best at building those kind of relationships, but that man ate out every single night of the week. And he built very deep relationships with those people. And I'm not kidding. Like, I would grow up and go into a restaurant and he'd be there. And I always felt like the people waiting on him knew him a little bit better than I did, because he had like this routine. But anyway,
it's really hurtful.
It wasn't. He wanted to go to the Country Express. That was where
the gas station.
That's where he wanted. And the steakhouse that we volunteered to take him to was next door. And he's like, I'm not much of... Let's go to the Country Express. That's where I like to eat lunch on Mondays. And like it was
so good.
Every Monday he ate at that gas station and he knew everybody in there, and different people would come in and he'd tell us their story. Straight people that were strangers to us would come in and they would stop and talk to him, and he would tell them, don't tell him I'm sick. It's like, you don't look well.
You know, the businessmen, not necessarily the businessmen, the construction workers, you know, they have their favorite little places to go.
Yep.
The Country Express.
It's one of them.
I mean, it's just a gas station that has some nice booths and great, awesome, unbelievable food.
Yeah.
It's the catfish.
Yeah. Whatever you want, it's good. And, and you know, it's one of these social capital deals. They go in there and they share what they're doing and projects their own. And no deer heads, though.
Sorry about that.
But the further we got away from four-lane highways, There's a guy. There's a direct correlation between deer heads and the number of lanes on the highway.
Ooh, I'd love to see a heat map.
That's a good one. Yeah.
Hey, Route 66. You think about it. We don't. You know, we don't leave Dunlap's. We don't leave all these places. We retain a few of them. You know, just is artifacts or whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. I mean, but Route 66. How many people travel that thing every year to just stop in at little drive-in?
Yeah.
Small gas stations. I mean. So people learn how to make money off that. You know, you say, well, this, I think I can start attracting people.
Hey, we'll close down here pretty quick. Do you know where the live mountain lion was?
Oh, yeah. No question. I think about it every time I drive by it.
Yeah. Then that was a gas station,
right? It was. Yeah. It was in his restaurant.
I'm fact checking myself.
Yeah.
What color was it?
Jet black, like a July night. I mean, December night.
Yeah.
1979.
Yeah. Hey, one thing that came out of this was a dead gum purple cougar, wasn't it?
Hey, yeah. In the gas squatch.
Wow. Hey, so I bleeped out the name of the small country gas station that didn't have deer heads. I bleeped out the town. I bleeped out everything because I didn't want to make them look bad.
I'm pretty sure everyone who ever drives through there is going to know who. I mean, Gasquatch? That's not.
No. There was another one that I had to beep out completely.
Okay.
Because we didn't want to do harm to these people.
Right.
We weren't throwing shade.
Gasquatch, though, we were so impressed with the place. I left the name in, even though we kind of got onto him for not having a deer.
Yeah.
I just kind of, I mean, they really went all
out. It was not Bear Grease sanctioned, but it would have been Gary Newcomb sanctioned.
Yeah. You probably could have played a round of golf in there. I don't know.
It was good. It was big. It was a big store.
Oklahoma knows how to do gas stations.
They sure do.
Man, the Choctaw Travel Plaza with a, like, 180, 190. It may have been a 190-inch typical.
It's huge.
I mean, it was straight up, looked like a picket fence.
It was not. It wasn't dressed typically, but it was a typical rack. It was a beautiful deer.
Yeah, it was. It was. Man, thanks, guys. Man, do we ever have some exciting Bear Grease episodes coming up in the future? I'm not even going to give you any hints, but very excited. Very excited about what's coming up.
Hey, everybody knows Weber Grills. I've been using Weber Grills my whole life, and check it out. They got a pellet grill, the Weber Searwood Pellet Grill. Now, with a pellet grill, you can smoke, roast, and sear on the same grill. You can go from low and slow, okay, on smoke boost mode, or crank this thing all the way to a heat sear at 600 degrees. It's got a full great sear zone so you can put more food on the flame. Get fired up for your new Weber Searwood pellet grill.
Outdoor adventure won't wait for engine problems. Things like hard starts, rough performance, and lost fuel economy are often caused by fuel gum and varnish buildup. Seafoam can help your engine run better and last longer. Simply pour a can in your gas tank. Hunters and anglers rely on Seafoam to keep their engines running the way it should the entire season. Pick up a can of Seafoam today at your local auto parts store or visit SeafoamWorks.com to learn more.